366 times, if you'll go to your Strong's Concordance, you will find that the words fear not or do not be afraid are used in the Bible. 366 times. Now, I take some encouragement with that. That's one for every day of the year and one for leap year at the same time. That's it also indicates that God realizes that we live in a world that's filled with fear. We've heard these testimonies tonight. And those are testimonies that I imagine that every one of you here could share. I've never met anybody who has not been afflicted with fear. Now, most of us do not walk in it all the time because we walk in the presence of the Lord. But the affliction of fear is upon us. This is a world that is a fearful world. I really have never known it in a personal, intimate way until these last 3 weeks. I have been frightened before, and I've been scared before. I've been in situations where I thought I was going to fall off of something, and I was frightened. I have been in situations to where I thought that something evil was going to come upon me, and I have been scared. But there's a great difference between fright and fear. Fright is instant. Comes on you, goes away. Fear lingers, sends out tentacles, grips your heart. Fright is often from God. More likely than not, it is God-given to protect us. It's good to be frightened. You're walking on a narrow path on a mountainside. It's good to be frightened. Overconfidence can kill you. You're in some kind of situation to where there's great danger. It's good to be frightened. Lightning strikes and suddenly you're frightened. A power pole falls and there's wires flapping around and you see sparks. It's good to be scared. It's good to be frightened in those things. That's a gift of God to protect us. Fear, however, has another author. Fear is not from God. Now, that's the basis. And once we can nail that down and begin to understand that the author of fear, the originator of fear, the father of fear is the devil, is Satan, then we can have a handle on this kind of thing. But we need to understand that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. By the way, that verse in 2 Timothy 1:7 that I just quoted to you, if you look at it in the New International Version, you'll not see the word fear. Rather, in the NIV, 2 Timothy 1:7 is where it is, 2 Timothy 1:7. In the NIV, you find, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity. It's an interesting play on words. But a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline or a sound mind. The ability to be in control. Both of these ladies who sat up here talked about the out-of-control feeling that fear brings. The helplessness and the hopelessness that go hand in hand with fear. But when Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, I, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. He is talking about spiritual authority. The kind of spiritual authority, he says, that came by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is yours, which means you have authority over fear. You have authority over these other things, this thing that would keep you from the presence of God. begin to realize that there is a satanic inspired concept that floods across this world, that comes easily into our minds, not into our hearts. Fear does not attack the heart. Fear attacks the mind. Fear comes into the mind. It does not come into the heart. But it is constantly attacking our minds. And that's where it comes from. And Satan is the author of fear. I've had some experiences with that over these last 3 weeks. And there are invariably nighttime experiences. Invariably. They are nighttime experiences when my mind begins to loosen the restraints of the day, when I am not as in control of my mind as I am in the daytime. My heart remains strong and filled with faith. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to accomplish those things that He's promised in this book and in His personal spoken word to me. Which was, especially as I begin to drift off to sleep at night, or if I wake in the middle of the night and I am not in total control of my mind, then I find these darts of Satan constantly battering against the mind. Jackie and I have been praying about putting on the whole armor of God when we get up in the morning. I'm not so sure that we shouldn't be praying at night before we go to sleep rather than before we get up. When I get up, I can handle a lot of these things. But it's at night when I need the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the word of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and those things to protect me during the evening hours. The passage of Scripture, I think, that I shared with you that became so meaningful to us as we first got this news of this attack into my body, was from Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I begin to realize how important it is that my mind be fixed on Jesus. That is the important thing, that I as an act of my will, as a deliberate act of my will, I fix my mind on the promises of God, on the presence of God, on who He is, rather than on the facts that would consume me, because they are always there. Our enemies are always with us. And so I have begun to realize that there's a vast difference between my mind and my heart. That my heart is steadfast, it's firm. My mind wavers back and forth, and so I'm constantly having to come back and do battle in the mind. And so the mind becomes the great battleground of Satan. I think that's probably an experience that all of you have experienced with this kind of thing when you're afflicted from the outside with fear. I've discovered, by the way, when you're living on a paper-thin edge, as we have been over these last 3 weeks, and that edge is growing wider, by the way. I mean, faith is expanding and that kind of thing, but In the beginning phases of this, when you begin to get what sounds like bad news, when all you've done all your life is live with good news, and suddenly you get bad news, and you're walking on a paper-thin edge, that the tiniest discouraging word can push you over into the pit. Doesn't take much. Just a tiny little word. And I have learned to say, I am not going to take those things into my mind. I am not going to receive those things, and in most cases I'm going to try to do away with them physically. I'm not going to allow them to happen. Now if they get in there, then I will do battle with them in the name of Jesus, but I would prefer for them simply not to come in. My wife and other people around me have been a great protector on this. Somebody gave me a prophecy a couple of weeks ago, handed it to me at one of the services, and Jimmy Smith, bless his heart, pulled it. It was a written prophecy. Pulled it out of my hand before I had a chance to read it. It was after the service. And he said, I know the individual who gave that to you. I'd like to read it before you see it. And I said, thank you, Jimmy, bless your heart, for shielding me on those kind of things. I don't need that kind of stuff. I don't need somebody to come and bring me a doom prophecy. I got enough of that stuff that I'm listening to anyway from Satan without it coming from one of Satan's servants in the name of Jesus as it comes. And so I've been grateful for those who have risen up to protect me from that kind of thing. Jackie said to me just a few minutes ago, said somebody here had a tape by a world-renowned prophet who had said that there were going to be 25 national leaders to die this year. Would I like to listen to the tape? And I said, no, I wish I hadn't even heard that much of it. You know, I just don't want that. I got enough battles going on without having to pick up that kind of stuff in my mind at the same time, because the pit of despair is there all the time. And even though your heart is strong in these matters, the pit of despair is there, and your mind is the thing that will pull you into it. I a number of times over these last 3 weeks, I've wakened in the middle of the night and have let my mind, I've allowed it to happen. I allowed it to happen early on. I remember the first Tuesday night after getting this news on Friday that there was some cancer cells in my body that were extremely dangerous. And I remember that Tuesday night, all during the night, waking up and allowing my mind, not taking control over my mind, but allowing my mind to play these games with me. And the mind became Satan's playground. As I planned my funeral, and as I realized that we don't have a cemetery plot, and we've talked about this, and what about the kids, and what about this, and what about that, and we don't have any savings, and I don't have any life insurance, and we've given all this stuff away, and we've walked in this by believing that God had said to, what about all these things? We've made good money across the years, but we have just let it go through our hands in gifts to others. And as a result, what's going to happen to my wife, and what's going to happen to my grandchildren? My mind played all during that night. I remember even at one place of lying there in the bed and saying, I don't think that my body should have a coat and tie on, because I'm really not a coat and tie guy, and the undertakers always dress bodies in coats and ties, and it would be, it'd be more appropriate if I just had an open neck shirt on, and I lived with that. Of course, that was at a time where I didn't know how fast this thing was moving, how fast it was growing, whether I was going to make it through the end of the week. I really did not know. And I allowed that thing to work. I woke and told Jackie about it the next morning. And she began doing what she does so very, very well. She began separating mind from heart. Amen. And she began separating authors. Amen. That God has not given this to you. This is authored by Satan. And then going to work rebuking Satan. In my life, in behalf of me, because at that particular point, I simply didn't have the strength to do it. I could speak the words, but it really didn't mean it, you know. I mean, there were big words coming from the devil during the night hours, in particular. Now, some of those have returned back and forth occasionally. But more and more I have found that the way you combat fear is to combat the author of fear. You don't come against the fear itself, you come against the author of the fear. Amen. You don't just mop up the water, you turn the spigot off. And you've got to go all the way back to where this thing comes from and say, I rebuke you, liar. I will not receive the lies that you're putting into my mind on this or anything else that's coming. And so I give that to you tonight. Now let me give you some scriptures which I think will be meaningful to you. I've already given you 2 Timothy 1:7. And I shared with you the passage from Isaiah 26:3. If you just want to jot these down and look them up. One of the ways that we have fought fear over these last several weeks as we've come face to face with a giant that is so much bigger than I ever am. I've always kind of prided myself on being able to cut down anything that came my way or out-talk it or get around it or something. And suddenly we're face to face with something which is bigger and uglier and meaner and more cruel and more death-wielding than we have ever had any experience with, even in our wildest imaginations and nightmares and dreams. Suddenly come face to face with it. And we have dealt with this thing in two ways. We have dealt with it, as I said the first, by rebuking the author of it in the name of Jesus. We have used the name of Jesus. That name is there to be used and to be it's a mandate that God has given us to use that name to rebuke, to take authority. And we have done that. The other thing we have done is to fill our minds with the Word of God. That this Word is alive, and it's active, and it's living. And to fill your mind with the living Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about just the Scripture verses, although it has to start there. But when you have the Scripture verses as they come in, then you have the presence of God that comes in with those, and suddenly you realize that the will of God is the most important thing that you can have. And so Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane, even though we often look upon that prayer as a kind of prayer of resignation, is not a prayer of resignation. Not my will, but thine be done. But basically, it is a prayer of faith, because I know that thy will is always good. Therefore, not my will, but thine be done. And so, the two ways that I leave with you tonight to combat whatever the fears are that come to you in the night times or in the day seasons, whenever they come, and they come at any time, is to rebuke Satan, and the other is to fill your mind with the Word of God. Now, and I want to give you some scriptures, but before I do that, let me just kind of drop an aside in the middle of this. My son Tim is here, and Tim and I were talking the other night about fear and how you work this thing through, and he gave me some real insight on this. He said, "Dad, what I do is I always imagine the very worst kind of scene that can happen. Very worst," he says, "if I'm driving to work in the morning," and Tim drives a truck that has all these big pipes on it because he works for an irrigation firm, and so he says, "if I'm driving to work in the morning," and he says, "I imagine what would happen if my truck stopped in the middle of the causeway. What would I do? Worst scene. Or worse than that, if somehow the straps broke and all the pipes rolled off in the middle of the highway and I've got pipes all over the place and that kind of thing." And he says, once I imagine that, then I realize that I can handle that. It's okay. Even the worst thing that can happen to you, I can take care of, because God will give me the strength and the wisdom to walk through that thing. See, the great fear is the fear of the unknown. Once you know what's out there, once you look the devil in the face and you see him, you can handle him then. Then you can take charge. You can take authority, because you realize that he's a figment. He does not have power. He does not have authority. All he can do is scare you to death. Now, you can die from fear. In fact, fear itself will cause horrible things to happen in your body, and I'm much aware of this. And so God says, faith will bring healing, fear will bring death. Psalm 30, verse 5. "For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night. Rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken." That's where God wants us, to that place, to where we can say, because of our relationship with him in the daytime or the nighttime, "I will not be shaken." Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8. These are passages that we have learn to love and appreciate. Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8. "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, My heart instructs me. My friend John Sherrill called me just a day or so after we had gotten this news on this cancer. John had cancer surgery years ago. In fact, if you, those of you who read, remember reading, They Speak With Other Tongues, remember that the first chapter deals with his conversion experience, and it happened in a cancer operation. As they took cancer out of his neck and out of his lymph nodes, he had melanoma. And he has lived with this all the rest of his life. And John said, I learned something through that cancer operation. He said, I came out of the surgery in huge amount of pain. And he said, the reason I was in so much pain, I realized later, is that my subconscious was fighting against what was reality on the outside, was fighting against my conscious. He said, I had not prepared my subconscious for the operation, and therefore the subconscious of my mind was resisting what I was submitting to. I was submitting to the surgeon's knife, I was submitting to the surgery and to the operation. My subconscious was resisting that, and as a result of that, I came out of surgery with a huge amount of pain because there was resistance in my body. When the psalmist says here, I will praise the Lord who counsels me, even at night my heart instructs me, he's talking about the subconscious, of God working in the area of the subconscious to instruct you at night, that God wants to work at that very deep level. If your heart is filled with faith, if your heart is filled with Jesus, if your heart is filled with God, then when you sleep at night, you ought to be ministered to by your heart rather than being made afraid by your mind. That out of the very subconscious of the mind, the innermost being, flow these rivers of living water. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. Jackie told you this morning that she posted little scripture verses, and they're not just in that motel room out in Houston. When I got back, I realized they're all over my bathroom mirror. So every time I go into the bathroom, the mirror is covered with scripture verses and admonitions to me of the Word of God, so that I can't look in that mirror without seeing the Word of God at the same time. They're all over the house. We've been playing the tapes, a lot of the Hosanna tapes in particular, which are basically scripture tapes, and letting the music bring the Word of God into our minds at the same time. Psalm 139, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. That's that same concept I was talking about this morning, for those of you who were here, about Jesus bringing captivity captive. That those areas of your life that you fear the most, you hate to go to sleep at night because you're afraid of the dark and you're afraid of what might happen in the dark. It's not that you're afraid that there's boogeymen out there. You're afraid that as you drop off to sleep, that you drop out of control and fear takes over again. And how many people I have talked to have said we don't want to wake up in the morning. If I can just go to sleep and not wake in the morning and not have to face this thing all over again, whatever it is that's facing me. And he's saying here that the promise of God says that if you say the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me and I have no choice except to walk in darkness the rest of my life, even the darkness will not be dark to you. But the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. In Revelation 21, it talks about heaven being a place where there's no night. No night there. Why no night? Because it's a place of light all the time. And the light shines not only in our heart, the light shines in our mind. And our mind is filled with the light of God. Job talked about even in his most despairing times that he was able to sing songs in the night. Songs of praise to God. Songs reminding him of God's goodness. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. We were reading this on the way in tonight as we drove in the car. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid what mortal man can do to me. I will not be afraid what circumstances can do to me. I will not be afraid what verdicts come into my life, because God is bigger than my fear. He is bigger than the author of my fear. And then this, and I will close with this, and what I want you to do is just get quiet for a minute and listen. And let me read something to you, which I think will go into your subconscious tonight. And so I want to close out with this. It's a passage from Romans 8, if you want to look at it later on, from the latter part of that, and you're so familiar with it. But I want to read it to you tonight. I want to do for you tonight, as we close out here this evening, what Jackie and I have been doing at night. We have some scripture tapes that we have been playing at night. And after we have finished our time of intercession, as we're just getting ready to drift off, I've cut on the tape recorder, and we're just letting the Word of God soak into our lives as we go to sleep. Usually I have to wake up because I got a tape recorder that doesn't shut off by itself, so I'm going to have to get something a little bit better than what I've got. But we've been letting the Word of God come and infiltrate my mind, because the Word of God at this particular level is coming into my mind, and that's where I need it so badly. It's already in my heart, but now I need it in my mind, especially as we drop off into those areas of where the mind is out of control. So I want you to get quiet for a moment and just close your eyes and get comfortable and just relax. And this is the way we're going to close the meeting tonight. We're going to close it with the Word of God, because I believe that God wants to set you free from fear. He wants to make you winners over fear. You are not to be consumed. You're not to walk through this world disabled by fear. We are victors in Christ Jesus. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also be predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, oh no. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, you have said that your word will not return void. Rather, it will take root in our hearts, will become part of us at the same time. You said that no weapon forged against us will prevail, that you will refute every tongue that accuses us, that this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, that this is their vindication from you. And so as the heavens are higher than the earth, so we know that your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts than our thoughts. And yet as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, we know that your word that goes forth from your mouth will not return to you empty, but will accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you sent it. I thank you that your word casts out fear.
Hallelujah.
That the mighty power of your word removes fear from our minds. That the blood of Jesus Christ protects us from the evil one. And that you have given us authority in his name to rebuke him, with a promise that if we do, he will flee from us. So, Lord, let your people walk in peace because our minds are fixed on you. May our night times and our day times be filled with your glory as our hearts are fixed on you and our minds stayed on you. I pray that you bless your people tonight as we leave, Lord, and that we shall go forth knowing that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. God bless you as you go.